Hello and welcome everyone to the Key to Licensing One Simple Idea, simplifying licensing for inventors, product developers, and idea people. If you are here looking to learn about how to get your product to market through the route of licensing, you are in the right place. Stay tuned and make sure to join the others who are on their licensing journey. Hello and welcome everybody to another Invent Right podcast. This is your host today, Sylvia Pomazak, and welcome to the show today. We have a very special guest, one of our students, Dana Knowles. So I want to thank her for being here on the show with us, and I look forward to chatting with you about what's going on in the world today, in your world with licensing and how that's been going, and just kind of hear more about your story as a student going through the process kind of before, during, and then also continuing on now. So welcome.
Thank you, Sylvia. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, let's just go ahead and dive in it. So tell me a little bit, just kind of a brief background about yourself and, you know, kind of where you were at when you heard about this whole licensing thing.
Okay. So I talked to my coach yesterday. Paul is my coach. And I said, you know, what am I allowed to say? What am I not allowed to say? Just say whatever you want to say. And I said, are you sure you want me to do that? Because I never quite know what's going to come out of my mouth. But you know, my story is a little bit non-traditional of, you know, I hear all these people talk on the podcast about, or people in general, about they have degrees and they went to college, and I got nothing. I'm pretty much a high school dropout. You know, I jumped into the bottle for a lot of years, and in 1997, found myself homeless and in a treatment center for drugs and alcohol, and I spent a lot of my years sitting on a bar stool saying, someday, somehow, I'm going to, one of those ideas, someday, somehow. I always had that inventive mind.
Yeah.
And so in 97, when I got my life back together, that's when I really started to take take inventing seriously. I went the path of a product submission company, and, mm-hmm. You know, I had, cost me $700 to get a really nice book.
A book.
Really nice,
the fancy book. That's right.
I kind of always looked at it like that was my, like my, what do they call it? Like a rite to passage, you know, like
yeah.
I had to go through those to get where I'm at today. And it was a learning experience. And, you know, I just still like even getting my life together took a lot of years, but I would still always have in the back of my mind, you know, I'm going to do something someday, somehow I'm going to do it. And you know, I would go to this event or that event, or, you know, I wasn't a big reader because I'm a good reader. I just am. I'm a wanderer. So I don't,
yeah,
I can't read. So I listen to audiobooks a lot.
Yeah.
I can't read. I just can't pay attention.
You process better by hearing. So there's all different styles of learning, and then you process better by auditory. So hearing versus reading, it's, you can't focus necessarily, so you're able to take it in and hear it through audio.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's, and I still do that today. My job permits me to have a lot of hours that I can just listen to audio. I think I've listened to every Invent Right webinar, everything, over and over and over. I think I listened to Stephen Key. I listened to the book One Simple Idea, I bet you 7 times.
Yeah.
Just to absorb everything I possibly could. So somewhere, you know, I got married in 2000. I traveled about a lot, but I always said I'm going to do something. And I had all these ideas and never knew what to do with them. And in 2005, I had a product, and I decided to join our local inventors network, which is the Inventors Network of the Capital Area in Washington, D.C. Fortunate enough that I only live like an hour and a half from D.C. So once a month I trek on up to D.C. and we, you know, I'm around like-minded people, and that's so important because I can't talk to regular people about, I mean, they just don't get it. I used to have I was a Harley chick, you know, so I had a bumper sticker that said, if I have to explain it, if I have to explain it, you're not going to understand it.
Right.
Kind of inventing. If I have to explain it to you, you're not getting it. So I need to go places where I have like-minded people. And so I joined the inventors group of the Capital Area. And I became the treasurer of that group. I didn't know that it was a lifelong term. Yeah, I'm the treasurer of the group. And this is
that's great.
It's a 50-year term, Dana. I didn't know that when I signed up. But I made a commitment. I knew that if I had a position in the club that I would get there.
Yeah.
Every month. If I don't have a position, maybe I go, maybe I wouldn't. But if I have a commitment, I'm going to get there.
Yeah. And
so in 2009 was when I met Stephen. I was representing the Inventors Network of the Capital Area at the USPTO, and we had a table there with some literature for we call it INCA, the Inventors Network of the Capital Area, and Stephen Key was one of the speakers. Now, this is in 2009, and I just Googled when he wrote the book, or when it was published. I think it was 2011.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't have the book at this time, and I really didn't know who he was. He was just another speaker up there at the USPTO, you know. Sometimes I feel like the Charlie Brown people talking up there, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. So I probably didn't even pay any attention to what he was saying because, I didn't know who he was, you know. But anyway, he came up to our table after after his presentation or whatever, and he introduced himself. And I don't know what he said, he certainly didn't say anything about InventRight or his book, because I don't think he had it out yet. So, but he just was a really nice guy. And I don't even know how I got his information, but I sent him my product. The one that I was working on, not the one that I have now, but the one I was working on then, I sent him my product. And it's for a ladies. It's a clothing accessory. And he got back in touch with me and he said, I gave it to my daughter and she loves it. But we still didn't talk about anything about licensing or anything. I just got that validation that it's a good product. I still don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
And so let's kind of fast forward. I'm still dabbling around. I got on QVC on the Sprouts program that they had with it. I made it to the top three, but then I didn't make it any further. And, you know, in my inventing life, since I've really taken it seriously and really tried to get out there, I felt like I was like I go back to high school. Like I was the cheerleader in high school and I would make the first cut, then I get kicked in the teeth, you know?
Yeah.
Right. You know, it just was constantly like I'd make it so far and then I'd get thrown back. And man, it's tough. This being an inventor is not for the weak.
No.
It's tough.
You have to, yes, it is definitely. I fully agree. It is, you either have to develop a thick skin or have a thick skin. It's something where you can't give up. Because you will be, punched in the gut, rejected. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
It is. Absolutely. There is definitely not anything easy about it, other than maybe for the inventor coming up with ideas sometimes can be very
fun.
That's the fun part, right? But then everything else outside of that, you know, there's certain parts that you become better at and you learn at, but then ultimately at the end of the day, you're still moving along. You're still on the train.
It's tough. It's tough. So back to kind of how I got with this, the whole story, you know, with meeting Stephen and, so this would have been, now I'm trudging along, I'm doing my thing, I'm going to New York to this thing, I'm spending money over here, I'm doing this, I hired an attorney in the mix, you know, he charged me a couple $1,000s, so I'm trying all these different ways to get where I want to go, I don't even know where I'm going, but I want to get there.
Yes.
I mean, ultimately, I guess, you know, you want to get your product on the store shelf and make a couple, bucks, so, so in 2016, I was voted in as president of our inventors club. And it was my job to get the speakers.
Okay.
Now, this point, I think I'm friends with Steven on Facebook. I'm not really, can't really remember. It seems like it was so long ago. But anyway, I reached out to him, and I invited him to come and speak at our Inventors Club. And so I talked with, his daughter, Madeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Madeline.
Yeah, I talked to Madeline, and they said, okay, well, we're going to be doing a tour, and we're going to come out, and we're going to be in the D.C. area in April 2017. I said, that's great. That's fantastic. Awesome. Everybody's, you know, I'm the hero. I got Stephen Keaton to speak at our Inventors group, you know. And cause by this time, he's gaining a lot of traction in the licensing world. And he's, you know, a lot of recognition. So people are knowing who he is.
Yeah.
And they're all impressed saying, oh, you know Stephen Keaton. I guess I do. I don't know. I mean, I'm shocked that he came. But you know what? You don't get a no. If you don't ask, you don't get a no.
Yeah.
He said yes. And so I was thrilled. So the crazy thing is now I'm in business for myself. I have a tuxedo rental business. Mm-hmm. And so I asked Stephen when he could come out to DC, and the only month that I would not be able to make it to the Inventors Network meeting is April, because it's prom season. What month did he pick? April. I couldn't even go to the meeting because I'm in the middle of proms and kids and moms and all that stuff. So this was, he was speaking at our group Monday after Easter, April 2017. Mm-hmm. So he had come in the Saturday before. So on Easter Sunday, we had decided that we were going to get together for drinks. Well, they were going to have drinks. I was not going to have drinks.
No, right.
I was not going to have drinks. But we were all going to get together, myself, Stephen, his wife, the vice president of the Inventors Club, and I believe it was the treasurer at the time, or one of the other guys that is active in the group. So we all got together, and we met in, I think it was Alexandria in D.C., and we had a really, really great conversation for about an hour or so, and I was able to visit with him. My husband was wonderful. It was Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're not getting nothing. I'm going to D.C., honey. Sorry. There's no Easter dinner for you.
That's right.
He was just so wonderful. You know, my husband, I think behind every good inventor is a good a good partner. That partner. I have a husband or a wife, and man, I can only imagine what it would be like if they're, you know, pulling you down every time. My husband's wonderful. He sees the big picture of, oh, when can I retire, is what he's thinking.
That's right. That's right.
I'm like, me first. I'm retiring first. So
that's right.
But I spent some time with Stephen and his wife and the other members, and it was great. And we talked a little bit about inventing. Stephen asked me some questions about, you know, do you have other products? And we were just chatting, you know, breeze and nothing, didn't think anything of it. And Stephen did the meeting Monday, which I did not attend. And I don't know, it was 2-3 weeks later, I got a call from Andrew. Uh-huh. Which was really weird. And he said, you know, Stephen asked me to reach out to you and introduce this program to you. Mm-hmm. Better, you know, and I thought, wow, maybe I should really look into it, because I was not looking. I was not going to sign up to be a student. I that was not in the plan. Mm-hmm. And so I investigated a little bit more, and I said, you know what? Yeah, let's do this thing.
So what made the, like, what, what was going, like, what was going on? So when you were deciding, okay, I'm not going to be a student, and then you realized, or you decided, actually, I am going to be a student. Like, what was the changing factor for you?
Well, one of the, I think a fear of it being another scam.
Yeah.
I had been, felt like I'd been ripped off, sold dreams so many times that fear, that's what it was. You know, it wasn't a financial thing for me. I mean, I have a business, it's a tuxedo rental business, so it's very seasonal. Of course, this would have been in May, I guess, but when I was making the decision, so business is good. Just fear of, man, am I getting ripped off again? Is this is too good to be true?
Right.
So it's absolutely not true, right? Because right. that's what we're taught. And I just, you know, I guess I just thought, you know what, I don't want to wish I would have done this. What I'm doing is not working.
Right. Yeah.
And just maybe this will work. Because it made sense to me. It made a lot of sense. And so I just decided I'm just going to do it. And prior to that, though, I had met somebody else that I was friends with on Facebook that was a student. Mm-hmm. And he had licensed a product. So I had talked with him and he confirmed, and I knew him, and he confirmed my fears. He put my fears to rest. And so that all kind of happened all at the same time within 2-3 weeks, everything was just aligned together. You share about a lot of times everything happens the way it's supposed to happen and the time it's supposed to happen.
Yeah. Very much so. Very much so. Like things start coming or showing up, or people start, either showing up over again, or it just starts to evolve.
I think after a while, then you just can't ignore the signs.
You cannot ignore the signs.
You can't ignore it. It's I'm supposed to be here. This is, it's just, everything just happened. My hair just stood up on the back of my head.
Right, right. The intuition, the gut reaction, the goosebumps on the arm feeling type of situation. And I hear of so many people's stories of that fear of, because there are so many other companies out there, or they've had really bad experiences, whether it's with other companies, lawyers or attorneys, or anyone else. And when you feel burned, that trust is, you put your wall up, you put your guard up, that it's so hard to know who to trust. Is this real? Am I going to get burned again? Like all these, the fears are sometimes they're so raw, as if it just happened. And then when you start to kind of open yourself up a little bit more, let the guard down, and the signs, it just kind of starts to evolve to bring that trust back.
Yeah. And I, you know, I, maybe because I knew Steven, he's a genuinely nice guy. I mean, he just wants to help.
Right.
I have to say that I'm in the tuxedo rental business, and I have a Steven, his name's Mark. But I have a Steven in the tuxedo rental business. He just wants to see me do good.
Yeah.
He loves to see people do good. So he's the owner of the company that I get my tuxedos from. And I can call him up at any time and say, hey, Mark, I want to do this. I'm struggling with this. So I have a Steven in my tuxedo.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have a mentor.
Yeah, I do.
And you have a mentor in your other business.
Yeah. And I bit the bullet and said, you know what, I'm just going to do this. And I had a coach, I had a coach, my first coach that they kind of assigned me, because I didn't know. It just didn't work. That was after the first or second call. I was like, man, you know what? This is not working. The coach was too structured for me.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place. I'm like notes all over, sticky pads all over. I'm not sitting down in an Excel spreadsheet. It's not happening.
Yeah.
So if you tell me to do that, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
After about the third call, I said, okay, this is not, I'm not feeling it. I called Steven or Ann, whoever I probably called Steven because I have his cell phone number, but I mean, I think he gives it.
Yeah, just don't give it out.
No, I would never give it out. I want to think that I'm special, that I'm the only one who has it, but I know I'm not.
Other people have it. I think he might give it out to too many people, Dana.
So I called him up and I'm like, hey, Steven, I hate to complain, but I'm just not feeling it. And he's like, well, let's get you another one.
Boom. Yeah. Yeah.
My second coach was Howie. Mm-hmm. Howie was great. Like we just
meshed.
I keep everything super simple. Don't complicate it. Don't give me too many things to do and keep, I don't know, whatever. So anyway, Howie and I hit it off really well. And then he left.
It happens. It does happen.
Things, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, and but he started my great foundation of, you know, helped me with my sell sheet and helped me with my video and helped me how to say things and my, you know, he just helped me with my emails and he was just there for me all the time. He was great. He gave me that foundation, you know, helped me get into the, you know, create my hit list and the companies that I was talking with. And this is the product. Now I have Paul I had to take a little break from Eventbrite and I just became an alumni for about 4 months during my slow season. And that gave me, I had enough knowledge to start to work on certain things or tweak certain things or, you know, so that was a little siesta, but I was still doing the work and I was still able to listen to all the, you know, the
webinars and
webinars,
training videos.
And then Howie left. Okay. And then, when I signed back up again, they asked me who I wanted and I said, Paul, because I had met Paul in,
at the trade show in Chicago. Yes.
If anybody is even thinking about visiting, walking a trade show, I am going to tell you, I cannot wait to go to my next one. My next one, I believe I'm going to the tailgating licensing show in Vegas. I think it's in February.
In February?
Yeah, I think it's in February, January, February, but I have it booked. I just,
ooh, I want to go too. Here, let me put that down. That's going to be,
and I'll send you the information, but anyway.
Yeah, send me the info because I want to go.
Because I'm working on my, well, right now, let's talk about my first product. So the product right now, this is super exciting.
Okay.
So I did everything that the Eventbrite program taught me to do from step one, then step two, not step one, two, six, one, two, you know, the whole way down the line.
Yeah.
So right now, I was at the Chicago show. I talked to a company, about 2 or 3 weeks later, I sent them my sell sheet.
Yeah.
They immediately got back in touch with me. They said, we like this. Let's set up a call. I had one call. I had two calls. I sent them a prototype. My inventions are very low tech.
Mine too.
They're super, like, talk about one simple idea. I mean, how much more simpler can you get?
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it for sure.
Super duper simple. So anyway, this company, they said, we love this. We need no tooling. Cause almost everything I do is out of some kind of fabric or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know why my brain just, that's how my brain just thinks. And, so I sent them a prototype. They sent it over to their manufacturer in China. They sent me a contract. Meanwhile, they sent the prototype to China. The prototype, the sample came back, factory made sample. That is the coolest thing to see, a factory made sample. We tweaked it a little bit because there were some things that weren't quite right and they didn't quite hit the mark. He sent it, this was last week. So this was the Friday before. He contacted the manufacturer. Manufacturer, hurry up, must have made another one really, really quickly because they are showing it to the Walmart buyers today.
My God, today.
Yes.
The day that we have our podcast scheduled, they're showing it. Right? I mean, I might do that better. I know Oprah does it, but I might do that better. But I mean, goosebumps. Dana.
Today.
Freaking goosebumps, man. Oh, God.
And now I'm like, you know, and then this is the hard part. You know, I'm like in an email, okay, great, let me know how the meeting went. And now I have to just sit back, wait, and be patient because I don't want to be a crazy inventor stalking, you know. So we're waiting. As far as the contract goes, the contract was sent to me. I went over it. There was a couple things I questioned. I got in touch with David.
You work with David on it.
Yeah, absolutely. David got together, said, okay, you know, the little small little things, I contacted the company, and it was small little things, like they didn't have Dana Knowles Designs LLC in there. It
right.
My name, Dana Knowles. And then they had patented and it's not patented. So they had to take that word out. And so, yeah, it's pretty exciting. And I mm-hmm. called them back and I was like, hey, we need to change these things. They're like, okay, no problem. Oh yeah, okay, no problem. And so the only thing that we're not, the reason the contract is not signed yet is because they don't have they don't have a manufacturing price yet.
Okay.
They have to wait to see what the percentage, what the royalty rate is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to get an actual, quote from the manufacturer, and then they're going to throw the, whatever the percentage is.
Oh my
God. But they showed it to the buyer. They had said they showed it to a couple other buyers, not the actual sample, but yeah. They showed it to a couple other buyers and they're interested. So, you know, this company's in they're in big stores. And,
yeah,
big
retail stores.
Yeah, average size company, not the big, although they weren't the first people interested in it. I had four other companies that asked me for a prototype. And I sent out the prototype to all of them. All of them sent it back, but one. The one guy lost it. I tend to like to think he's using it.
Of course. Of course he's probably using it.
They loved it so much that
he's honest. Yeah, they quote unquote lost it. Sure.
Yeah, sure you did. Somebody stole it because they're using it now.
Yeah. So let's talk about some things that people are probably going to freak out about as they're listening to this. The patenting. Like, does it need to be patented? What's going on with the whole patenting thing? Like, everyone's going to be like, people freak out about the whole, I have to have it protected, I got to patent it, and I got to, I got to file a worldwide international patent, and somebody's going to steal it. And like, that drives me nuts. So.
I know, me too. I filed for the PPA. Well, let me tell you, I filed two PPAs because the first one ran out.
Yeah.
It was a year. I had filed it. I think I filed it even before I really signed up to be a student. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to let that one run out. Let's see if we have interest. We did have interest. So that one ran out. So I filed, there was a span of 6 months before I filed the next PPA, but it had revisions, it had additions, it had all kinds of stuff. So, I suppose that if I had the next brainwave surgery, technical, whatever, I would probably maybe want to patent that or start the process. But, I have simple ideas.
Yeah.
And I know that I let fear stop me, and I hear it all the time in our group. Fear, they stop fear. Oh, aren't you going to patent this? Aren't you going to? Well, no, I'm not. People, I believe it when Steven says people don't steal ideas. I believe it.
I believe it too.
I don't think that, especially in this day and age. Years ago, there was somebody had shown Victoria's Secret something, and Victoria's Secret stole it. Like, mm-hmm. And even if they didn't steal it, it was still perceived that they stole it.
Right, right.
That's just reality to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was a mess for them. That one person made their rock their world.
Yep.
With the internet, we have a big voice now.
Yeah.
And I'm just not worried about it. I'm just.
Yeah, neither am I.
It's not. And I'm glad I just got over that. I'm just over that. And I don't. Because I probably would never be able to afford to get a patent. I don't have that kind of money.
I know. And I always tell people, I'm like, unless you are inventing or creating like the Dyson vacuum cleaner, man, if it's something, and Steven talks about it, a wall of IP, it's a big idea. Like it's probably going to require patents and all this other stuff. Right. But like simple products that they just don't require patenting necessarily, or to allow the fear of, well, they're going to steal it or not do anything. Not even, it's just, yeah.
Well, no. I have to look at it. Like when I listen to Steven and David and, all the ones that came before me.
Yeah.
I have this faith that they know what the hell they're talking about.
Right. That's right.
I'm learning, but you know, I see other people, regular people, just like you and me, they're licensed and stuff. They're listening to them. They're, you know, I mean, why do I think I know better than them? Because I don't. I, you know, when it comes to licensing, I do not know more than them.
Right.
They always know more than me, and I will listen. I'm kind of humble enough to.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I was humble, but I'm humble enough to know that I don't know.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
Yeah, I think that individuals that are truly successful at it do maintain a level of humbleness to realize that and acknowledge that they don't know and they don't know everything. There's always something to learn. They can always grow from the experience.
Possibly that I'm thinking, like, the company that I'm dealing with is in a lot of major retail stores.
Mm-hmm.
So they take, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they take my product and they, you know, put it under their name and manufacture it and ship it wherever. And it ends up in Bed Bath & Beyond, okay, mm-hmm. under their name.
Right.
Bed Bath & Beyond is not going to let a similar product roll in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to think they're not going to let the exact same product because the company that I'm dealing with, so I'm not... You know, there's going to be knockoffs. I mean, and Steven just did that YouTube video with the girl that was from as seen on TV. Mm-hmm. Can't think of her name right now. Sorry. And she was saying that she knocked herself up. Like, right. Oh, that sounds terrible. she knocked herself off, but knocked herself
up. That was so funny. That was awesome.
I said I don't ever know what I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
I don't quite know what's gonna come up, but she knocked herself off, but made a better version.
Yeah.
And there's gonna be knockoffs, and if there are, then you know, who was the one guy that said call them and say, hey, you know what, I've got a patent on that, or I got or whatever. Try to get royalties from them. But one thing that's good about my and this is a conversation I had with the company I'm working with right now, is they flat out said, what is patentable about your product?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, the design of it is what makes it function the way it functions.
Right.
And that was probably a little bit of a good selling point.
Yeah.
You know, if we should happen to need to get any kind of patent, it'll probably
correct. Be exactly. Yeah.
Which is a lot less expensive and I think easier to file.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I'm not an attorney. So I don't know.
Well, I find that you've come like such a long way, and you've had such a long journey, but you never gave up. You
right.
kept on going. You kept on moving forward. You're still moving forward. You didn't back off or shut down when it didn't happen in a month or even in a year. Like, you just know that it's going to take time. You can have to continue to work on it. It's not like a get rich quick scheme, or you're not going to license your first product in 1 month, 3 months, maybe sometimes not even in 6 months, but you have the tools, you have the knowledge, you have the process, you built the foundation, and now, you know, you're full steam ahead. Now you just keep moving forward. You've built relationships with companies. You know exactly what to do. There's this confidence, right? Because before, there's this lack of confidence of knowing what to do. So you're kind of searching, right? You're searching and you're searching. And then when you find what you're searching for, especially the help that you need, and you start doing it and you start building that confidence, you're need for searching decreases because you have that inside of yourself. You have that inside of yourself to be like, I can do this. Now I know and I understand and I come up with more ideas and I have that foundation, and you just keep going.
Well, meanwhile, this product here is doing what it's doing, which is a lot of hurry up and wait and wait and wait. I'm working on my second project.
There you go.
So the sales sheet's done. The voiceover I just got today, sent that out to Paul. I got a big fabulous in capital letters. So I
yes.
Got the video's done, the hit list is done, the PPA is almost written. So I'm like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Getting ready. I'll be making calls. But something that I do, I'll tell you about making calls. I was not wanting to make calls at all.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. I would be find anything to do other than to pick up the phone and make calls. And I don't know what I was reading. I have a lot of inspirational books that I kind of read, little things, you know, and I don't know what came over me. And I got so angry at myself. I just got angry.
Yeah.
Like, why won't you just pick up the damn phone? Oh, I'm so mad. And I said, I let that anger, like, just kind of move me forward. I was just angry at myself that I was such a wimp. Like, I've been through so much in my life that I'm scared to pick up a telephone and talk to somebody. And I just picked up the phone and I just started calling people. I just started calling and I forced myself to do it. And it was only like after the third or fourth call, it was done. It was gone.
And
I procrastinated for a long time, but I got really mad because I just don't want to wake up one day and say, what if I would have made this call?
Yeah.
What if I would have signed up and become an event rights student? What if I would have learned? What would have happened while, you know,
yeah.
I wouldn't, what's going to happen? And I know that inventing is in my blood. There's no, you can't, sometimes I say it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
I can't stop it. It's annoying. It's annoying mm-hmm. to me that I see a problem and I got to solve it. It's annoying. It's draining. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's
but I
right.
called. I was talking to Paul and I said, you know, I really want to get this. I got my hit list all going. I'm, you know, ready to contact people. And I said, you do know that I'm going to contact probably 30 companies in one day if I can. Because I will sit down on a Monday, and because Mondays are my day off, so I will sit down on Monday, and I will just start calling people, and calling people, and calling people, and I have great relationships now, and I'm in a whole, my second product's in a whole different category, so that's awesome, so I get to call, you know, 30 new companies that, and meet 30 new people. Funny story, though, there was one particular company that I was trying to pitch this product to, and the guy just wouldn't give me a no. Like, it just wouldn't give me a no. I was on email, phone, LinkedIn. And I know he was reading my LinkedIn post. He just wouldn't give me a no.
Yeah.
And so it became like this game to me.
Yeah.
Like every 10 days I call him and say, hey, I can't remember his name now, but hey, Fred, whatever. Hey, Fred, it's Dana again. I think maybe you just want to hear my voice because all I'm asking you is to just give me a no and I'll quit calling. Like, so I'm going like emails and I'm, like professional every 10 or 12.
Yeah.
I'm so calling. So their booth was at the Chicago show.
Yeah.
And I went up to whoever and I said, and I know what he looks like because pictures on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And I said, can you blah, 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 such and such here? And I think, I don't know if he told me he was going to be there or not. So anyway, I said, they said, yeah, he's here. I said, can you tell him that Dana Knowles is out here to see him? And he walked out and I said, it is so nice to meet you. Will you just please say no?
Oh my God. That's
and he
awesome.
Said, I'm so sorry I didn't get back in touch with you. I'm like, I'm just waiting for you to say no. And then we sat and we talked for 5 minutes or so about, you know, the importance of saying no. I schooled him on, you know, and he laughed. And then I met another guy that he actually had my prototype and he walked me around. He had a huge booth at the show and he walked me around and showed me all, you know, and was actually talking to me about my product and this is where we think it would fit in. Of course, then a couple of weeks later they passed.
Right.
But that's okay.
That's okay. That's so awesome. That confidence, that persistence and that perseverance is amazing because it doesn't sound like the way that you did it was still, I think it was done so well because that's so something that like I can see myself doing, but not with an air of like cockiness or this entitlement, right? Like this, like that game, like almost playful, almost this playful, like, can you just give me a no? Like, you know, like just the, this really cool, like, you know, just like shooting the, you know, whatnot. And I think people respond. I think a lot of people respond to that. And that is kind of what I think. That's definitely a huge differentiation between somebody that is going to be successful at edit versus somebody that, you know, isn't, because of the mindset and also just the attitude. And I mean, so much that goes into it, but I freaking love that. I love that so much.
Another story, and I know Steven tells his story.
Love stories.
I called this one guy, and my very first time calling him, this is actually a guy, I met him at the Chicago show too, the one with the really big booth. So uh-huh. I called him, and I'm like 30 seconds into my spiel or 15, and the phone, I lost him, the call drops. And I'm like, oh, geez, he called me back.
That's awesome.
He called me back, and he was the one that said, you know what, send me your sell sheet. I sent him they're the ones that lost the prototype. That's okay. But then he's the one I met at the Chicago show, and we were going, like, you know, and then, of course, like I said, they passed. But, you know, I hung up on the guy. I thought that would have been a really good story if they would have been the ones to license it, though. Wouldn't that have been a good story? That didn't happen. But, yeah. So, and then I, at the Chicago show, there was one company there that I read their submission for, like their submission contract.
Yeah.
And I actually had, this is when I was with Howie, I had Howie read it. I said, this, you know, I highlighted the part that I questioned. He said, I wouldn't sign that. And I said, okay, that was good enough for me. He just said he wouldn't sign it. And so I walked up to the booth and I said, the guy introduced himself and he was, you know, one of the higher ups or whatever. And I said, have you ever read your submission, your product submission contract on your website? And he's like, well, no. And I said, well, I don't know how anybody would send you anything. And he said, really? He handed me his card and said to call him. I was like, man, I was on a roll at the Chicago show.
Confidence.
The only problem with that show is it was so big.
It's ginormous.
It was so big, I couldn't get around to everybody. You know, I saw Warren Tuttle there, of course, you, and I met Paul, and there was a lot of other, you know, Eventbrite students there. It was great, but it was so big. I was exhausted.
Massive. Like,
I had my headphones on. I would listen on the way from the hotel over to the Chicago show. I listened to that Miley Cyrus song, The Climb.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that song?
Yeah.
Nobody's ever heard. It's awesome. I listened to it. I would like pump that into my, you know, into my head. Like, you know, there's always going to be another mountain. So
there's,
you know,
always going to be another mountain. Sometimes awesome.
My faith is going to be a little shaken, but man, just keep on climbing. Yeah. And I get the fire underneath me again, and I'm going to do this. And you know, I don't know where this product I have right now is going to go. I mean, I hope that, you know, Walmart's gonna say, this is great. I don't know. You know, I just have to hope for the best, you know, and the mere fact that I've gotten this far shows that the Eventbrite program works.
Yeah.
If you work it, and I love the fact that they don't do it for me.
Yeah.
And I usually get up at my inventors group and give them a little update every month because they like to hear my progress and how people will say, should I sign up? And I'm like, only if you want to do the work. You're like, I don't know about that. Well, if you want to do the work, if you want to learn how to do it, great. Yes. But if you think they're going to do it for you, it ain't happening. Because your teachers.
That's right.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's a lifestyle for me now. I can't wait to, you know, I got my second product. My third product is the one I'm taking out to the licensing.
The tailgate one?
Oh, yeah, in Vegas. Yeah, that's the third product. So, ooh, and I got two of other ones too.
Yeah, email me. Email me. We're going to share a hotel so we can go out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That would be awesome. That would be rocking.
I'm just grateful that I found, you guys. You know, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for. I know that. I know that absolutely. It'd still be.
And we wouldn't be where we're at without our students, without the people that are like, teach me, show me the way. I will listen to you, guide me in the right direction. I will put forth the effort. I will do the work. I will move forward.
Well, that's something I love about the podcast that you're doing right now, is that it's you know, it's real people telling
real people
story. And yes. I struggled, you know, I said to, you know, should I talk about that, you know, not any education and homeless and drinking and drugging my
heck
life.
Yeah, girlfriend.
I was like, heck yeah. I was 36 yeah. years old. I was 36 years old and homeless and in a rehab. And yep. in a women's shelter with nothing like
God nothing. Bless you, sister. God bless you.
Because I for
you freaking struggled and you got out of it. Like you
and so I still
there's yeah. so much more. Everyone, every single person has their story, has, you know, it's not like, yeah, I signed up for the program and you know, work
hey,
like,
yeah,
everything's good. Like the story, the everything that goes on is so real. And I love that I want to hear that. I want people to know that. I want people to understand, you know, that no matter where they've come from, educated or not educated, like mm-hmm. you can do it.
Absolutely. And I think that's why I have to say that, because people need to hear that you don't need an education to do this. You don't need to, you know, you don't need to have everything, you know, handed. You can do this with, and you don't need a lot of money. That's what I love about it. I mean,
yeah.
really.
Oh yeah.
Literally. I mean, you know, my prototype cut. Well, I mean, it's just, I guess it just depends what you're getting, but
yeah.
In fact, this product that I did, right, this product that I'm licensing, in the process of licensing right now, I had a video for it, but I did, the sell sheet that I sent this company did not have the video. It was just the sell sheet. Just the sell sheet. I thought I had to have the video. Apparently I didn't. Now the product I'm working on now, it helps for a little, you know, I have a little 40-second video. I did it myself. There's a great video maker thing. If I can use it, honey, anybody can use it.
That's right.
I am technically challenged. Kizio, I think, or Kizoe or something it's called. And you just, you know, download your pictures and drop them in and download videos. And then I got a little voiceover from Fiverr.
Yeah.
InventRight Design Studio did my sell sheet.
Yep.
They did my 3D, my drawing.
The virtual prototype.
Because I didn't have an actual prototype. I have a really Frankenstein. I love that Frankenstein.
I know. Prototype. I love Frankenstein.
In my video that I think is so cheesy, but Paul's like, no, it's good. It's great. Don't worry about it. You get, you know, you're getting a point across. So, and yeah, so then the design studio has been great. I went back a few times, like with, you know, oh, shoot, can we change this? Just a little bit, a little tiny. And I'm like, I said, even yesterday, I said to whatever his name is, RJ, I guess, whatever. And I said, hey, how many times can I do this until you get really pissed off?
I love it. I love it.
Basically, he's like, don't worry about it. You know,
yeah.
They were just little things, you know, I wanted to take something out. And it wasn't any major, like, oh, you want to do the whole thing.
Right.
Because sometimes you know, I made the sell sheet and I'm like, oh, this is perfect. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, I'm like, yeah, that's not so perfect.
You right. Know? You come back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Just so I made a couple minor changes and you guys are great. You know, the whole thing, you know, I'm glad that I didn't let fear stop me and that I went ahead and did it. I'm hooked, man. You got me. You ain't getting rid of me. Sorry.
No, we're not. We're not going to get rid of you for sure. And I will see you again, whether it's in Vegas or in Chicago, wherever. So we will touch base. We will stay connected with you. I so appreciate you being our student and being part of the InventRight program, doing the podcast with me today. I hope that everyone out there listens and benefits and, you know, comes and finds out more about who we are and what we do and gets to know more of our students and meets us at the trade shows when we're going. I mean, so I just love it. And congratulations to you and how far you've come. And you're fantastic. You're amazing.
Oh,
so bless you. And you know, and I want to hear more good things, and I want to make sure everyone, you know, we're keeping in touch, and so that we can do another update. And I'm going to keep my fingers crossed and, you know, hope to hear good news from your potential, you know, your licensee, and we'll see where it goes. But thank you so much, Dana.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you for listening to the Key to Licensing, One Simple Idea, the podcast. If you haven't already, please go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. You can also check out our YouTube shows, Invention Licensing with David Fidwa, Straight to Licensing with Amy Jo Brogan, and Invent Right TV with Stephen Key and Andrew Krause. Join me next week for another interview. Thank you for listening, and keep inventing. We'll be right back.